The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Howard, I am good, and you? I think we have a much more of a quiet day here in Israel.
Oh, thankfully. So let's kick back, put our feet up, and talk about what's going on. The security guard is home. Is this right?
Well, we're not putting our feet up just yet.
Fine.
We're in the process of perhaps kicking off our shoes, but we're not putting up our feet just
yet.
Yeah,
and I suspect we won't ever be able to, but still.
Yeah. With a lot of negotiating, I think a lot of very tense phone calls between the King of Jordan, the special envoy from the U.S., Jason Greenblatt, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as the diplomatic corps on the ground in Amman in Jordan. We finally can exhale and breathe a sigh of relief that the Israeli guard who was stabbed and defended himself and subsequently killed both his 17-year-old attacker and another Jordanian civilian is home. He is back in Jerusalem and met today with Israel's ambassador to Jordan, Einat Schlein. And we know that his name, the guard in question, his name is Ziv. He is back home in Israel, and he met today with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Absolutely incredible, and it really was resolved in the best possible way, wasn't it?
I think it absolutely was. I think we got to really near crisis point, and I mean, we even had Jordanian nationals calling for the death penalty for security guard Ziv, but he is home safe and sound. He was absolutely what's the word I'm looking for? I'm telling you, the cat got my tongue today. He did have a right to diplomatic immunity as per the Vienna Convention. And I think the way that things happened, I think it's better that he is back home safe on Israeli soil. Also, just to reiterate that he did not shoot randomly. He shot in self-defense. He was stabbed by a 17-year-old attacker coming in to do routine furniture changes in the embassy in Amman and Jordan, and with a landlord. We don't know all that much about the landlord. The landlord also was killed in the conflagration, but thank goodness he is home safe and sound.
Absolutely, and clearly the incident also the issue about the Temple Mount, because Jordan was getting very, very involved and very irate about what they perceived to be unjust in terms of the Temple Mount. That was obviously resolved at around about the same time within the same negotiation, I would imagine.
Yes, and you know, it was ironic because the United Nations Security Council met today. Members of the Security Council had to go through metal detectors themselves, Howard.
So did they stab anybody when they in outrage? Or
I don't know if they stabbed anybody or if they proceeded peacefully, because they understand that perhaps the metal detectors are there for their own safety, but they passed through the metal detectors much like we do when we go en route to pray at the Kotel to have an emergency discussion on the situation at the Temple Mount. And yesterday we discussed whether or not the UN had weighed in on what was happening at the Temple Mount, and the UN said this has to be sorted out by Friday.
Yes, or I was meant to ask you, or what?
Well, that's what I'd like to know.
Well, they're going to pass
another ridiculous resolution.
Yeah, they're going to pass another resolution. What's left? And they already don't believe that Israel has the right to Jerusalem and the Temple Mount or the Cave of the Patriarchs. And now what? You know, what else are they going to do?
Maybe in a Orwellian universe, we would pass a resolution saying that according to resolution 0001, as put forward by the Jews of the world, they are complicit in incitement and this kind of action.
Absolutely, absolutely appalling. So the metal detectors have come down. Cameras go up.
The metal detectors have come down, but what we are seeing at the cost of $100 million is smart cameras.
What's a smart camera?
Well, from what I understand, a smart camera is exactly that, a very, very smart camera that not only has facial recognition, but can also scan to see if there are weapons of any sort coming through to the Temple Mount.
Incredible. Incredible. And that's at a cost of $100 million. Who pays for that?
Apparently, my tax shekels do.
No.
But you would think that this is this would be accepted because this is an acceptable kind of solution. But no, the Islamic Waqf has rejected this. They have rejected the – I think that while they realize they're on a roll perhaps, they have rejected the idea of smart cameras.
Oh. Well, I think you should be pleased about that.
Well, what is the lesser evil to them? It would save us some money, Howard. Mm, you know, it would save us a huge chunk of our tax shekels.
It's absolutely beyond words. Another thing also is just as you said earlier in this Orwellian universe, the I never really understand or remember what they stand for. JVP, Jews for Just, Voices, Peace, Now, Hear Us, We Desperate People. What is that? They were prevented from boarding a flight to Israel because apparently they allowed a boycott. Israel is not allowed to boycott them right back. Is that does that make sense to you?
Well, I know, Howard, that you've written before about finding a good name, what's in a name, and shameless plug here, you can find Howard's op-ed on this on israellink.co.za. But five members of a supposed interfaith delegation to Israel were prevented from boarding their flight from Washington, D.C., reportedly due to their activism on behalf of the BDS movement. So Jewish Voice for Peace said in a statement that they tried to check in to their Lufthansa flight at Dallas International Airport, only, Howard, to be told that the Israeli government had ordered the airline not to let the five passengers aboard. And this is in line with the law that was passed in March earlier this year, where the Knesset have amended their law of entry, which prevents leaders of the BDS movement from being allowed into Israel. And, you know, you and I have discussed this, and we both have the opinion that, you know, if you are a real threat to national security, then fine. If you're just an ordinary run-of-the-mill disgruntled person who perhaps is leaning towards BDS, by all means, come into the country. We have nothing to hide. And I think that the government is leaning towards that. They are known to be disruptive. And Lufthansa spokesperson Tal Muskal said that the delegation members were not allowed to fly as per the government's request. He says, we, Lufthansa, do not know who these people are. We have no information as to why the government does not want them to enter, but we simply have to abide by the rules and regulations.
Because the airline can be fined if they allow somebody to go to a country where they've been specifically prohibited from entering. It's very interesting because as you rightfully said, my attitude has been that let people go and see what Israel is really about. But when I read the story, I have to tell you that I felt quite differently. I thought, well, good for them. You know, they shouldn't be allowed to go. They certainly aren't going on a genuine fact-finding mission. They're not going with real integrity. So why should they be allowed to go?
But you see, again, you know, the press has made a mountain out of a molehill, so to speak, because the delegation is 18 people strong, but five of the delegation are prohibited from going. And while the Prime Minister's office is not commenting, what we do know is that three of the activists from JVP include a rabbi. The other delegation members that have been prevented from boarding the flight are Rick Ufford Chase of the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship in Rockland, New York, and Shaquille Sayed, a national board member with the American Muslims for Palestine in Los Angeles. But the rest of the delegation has been allowed to go. But Rabbi Elisa Wise has said that Israel denied me the ability to travel there because of my work for justice for Palestinians, even though I'm Jewish and a rabbi.
All right, well, I'm not sure why that's what's that got to do with anything, really. Is she saying she should be allowed in, but somebody who's a Muslim shouldn't be? Gosh, that doesn't doesn't sound very all-encompassing, doesn't it?
Profiling towards, you know, to my perspective.
Very, very interesting. Finally, is Rex Tillerson about to quit?
I think he's about to Rex it. Howard, I think that we might see Rex Tillerson deciding that he is no longer quite happy to serve as Secretary of State, but that's what the press would have you believe. On more investigation, it has been discovered that during his tenure as CEO of ExxonMobil, he perhaps had broken some of the laws that that the U.S. has in place. There's sanctions against Russia, and this has raised some red flags. And I think Tillerson is saying, to the media that he is disgruntled with the Trump administration. But I think there is far more to the story than meets the eye.
And we will certainly keep an eye on that story. Rolene Marks, we'll chat to you tomorrow. Thank you, as always, for keeping us up to date as to do with the what's going on in Israel. And let's hope that tomorrow's report will just be about good news and a trip to the beach.
Absolutely. Well, I haven't hit the beach yet. It is very, very hot here, but hoping to get my tanning on soon. You know, I need a break from all this violence that has been happening.
You